The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the program today. It is a great joy for me to spend some time with a person who serves the fine folks in Seminole County as a commissioner. Jay Zimbauer is with us here in the studio today, and I've already found out before we started this recording, I found out that this guy has a background in radio, which is fun. We're going to be talking about that as well.
Right on.
Welcome to my program.
Well, thank you very much. It's my privilege and pleasure to be here. We appreciate it. We appreciate the good work you do for the community.
Well, thanks. And I can say the same to you. You know, one of the things that we've discussed many times on this program is the need that we have in America right now for people, especially people of faith and people who have the values of America.
That's right.
In their hearts to become involved in leading in some way.
Absolutely. And I can tell you that, you know, sometimes you hear this, and this is my first go. This is my third year in office of a 4-year term, and I'll be running for reelection, you know, next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you it's tough for good people. It is a very challenging with the meanness of people today, the just unbelievable hate that people have on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just, you know, I remember the days when my father, my grandfather, and other people I knew, regardless of party affiliation, they may not agree on an issue, but they'd go break bread.
Yeah, they could disagree agreeably.
That's right. Today, people just can't do it.
I don't quite understand how we got to this point of division where we are now, so divided, and the level of vitriol.
That's right.
That is out there.
That's right.
And it is becoming now, I felt like even after I said what I said a moment ago, that I need to backtrack and make sure that I qualify what I meant by that when I said the value of Americans. I have the values of historic America, which were, those values are biblical. They
Amen.
Were Judeo-Christian. And the good book that would be talked about, and even if you watch old movies from Westerns or whatever, oft times the Bible would be referred to even by people who weren't believers.
That's correct.
As the good book.
That's right.
Because
right.
that was the standard. That was the gold standard.
That's right. And you'll often hear me say, when we have these social type discussions, you know, I often say, you don't have to look far. When you started removing the Bible and God from the schools, from the political realm, from the government agencies, in the families, in their own home, look where we find ourselves today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frightening to one extent, but every once in a while I run across some young people that are believers and are fighting the fight and going the right track, and I get a little sense of comfort, and I often reflect there's been times back in the 60s, you know, when the Vietnam and the early 70s, you know, there was a lot of crazy social unrest going on in those times, and I always wondered, did the people from that time, because I was too young to really understand what was going on, did a lot of those folks at that point, like my parents, did they have some of the same concerns I have today? And when I talk to other people from then, they're like, well, Jay, it as bad as it was then, it's much different now.
It is different. And it's not that it wasn't bad back then, but again, you had at the core, at least in the teaching of government, you still had people teaching some things that would have
Correct.
Been still tied in
That's
to
right.
the values of our founding fathers.
That's
and,
right.
And those values now today, in fact, 2020 was a bad year
right.
for all American history.
Amen.
It was a bad year. I mean, they're pulling down statues. And
That's right.
It's not just the statues that were being pulled down. What concerns me, it's the glance into our past that was pulled down.
Well, it is. And as much as we had so much craziness in 2020 going through the first pandemic in my lifetime, and as the chairman of Seminole County, I had only been in office as the chairman for 2 months, and it was handed a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, typically the chairman...
Welcome to public service.
Right.
Right.
Usually the chairman is the person who goes out and represents everybody at the community events and all the social affairs. Well, that all came to a screeching halt because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was doing anything. And I was blessed, and not to toot my own horn, but... You know, several months into it, I had several of my fellow elected officials, several staffers and others from the public that would whisper in my ear and just say, you know, God puts the right people at the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't like the position you're in right now, but we think you're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. And, you know, we have no way of understanding all of the things that are going on right now, but we do know those that are believers and those that know the word do believe that God is a sovereign God, and at the end of the day, he has not stopped being sovereign. I mean, COVID has not, you know, handcuffed the Lord.
Amen. And, you know, like we've talked before the show, I always have a saying I share with my friends, especially my children, he gives us no more than we're capable of dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
We often question and wonder why, and we shouldn't question and wonder why. It's all his plan.
Yeah.
His plan, we may not understand it, we don't know it, but we have to trust it.
And in the middle of that, that doesn't mean we agree with everything that's going on because of our faith and our hope in that plan, but with going on governmentally. But I'm so glad to know that we've got people like you.
Amen.
That are in the fray, in the fight. You represent District 2.
Correct.
As a commissioner. You
that's
said
right.
Year 3 out of your first term.
Year 3 out of 4. And although I have District 2, which is the far east Sanford, going down 1792 parts of Lake Mary, Castleberry, and all of Winter Springs, we're elected at large.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 of us actually represent everyone in the county,
mm-hmm.
which is a little unique. And it's actually good,
yeah,
because you're seeing people from all over the county and helping people from different districts and different areas.
Yeah, and that's really a good way to explain what the at-large designation really means.
Correct.
Even though you have a district that is your primary district, you go beyond that.
That's right.
And can be voted upon beyond that.
That's correct. That's right.
So
the whole population votes for us instead of just our district.
Yeah, so, you know, it's clear then that COVID has not put such a bad taste in your mouth about this whole thing. That
no, it hasn't. I mean, you know, I've had a lot of life experiences that helped me prepare for that. You know, my mother and father were missionaries in Zaire, Africa. My father contracted malaria, which was very trying on him. But then he had to have heart surgery, blood transfusion, hepatitis C. I lost my father at age 50 and was told as the oldest child, you're going to have to run the family business and make sure that your siblings get through school and your mother's taken care of and so forth.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 21.
Wow.
When that happened. So I took care of my mother and still take care of her to this day. My three siblings all went on to higher education, are doing well, great families. Both sisters went into the missionary field, one in Russia, one in the Philippines, and also traveled through Cuba and other parts of the world, spreading the word. My brother ended up in the financial world, but everybody's done well.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward in 2017, when I filed to run for public office, my wife was 100% supportive. We had been married 36 years at that time. And she all of a sudden, about 3 months after I filed to run, she became sick and contracted, or we learned she had glioblastoma, brain cancer.
Mm.
And I immediately went to my wife because as a campaigning for office, it's a 24/7, you're going to functions, you're out, you know, waving signs, you're doing all these things. And I went to my wife and I said, babe, I'm going to pull the plug on running for office. I want to be by your side 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at me and she says, no, I don't want you to do that. You need to be, you're destined to do what you want to do. I want you to do that, which just broke my heart at that point. But in her assistance, I went ahead and did that. I lost her, unfortunately, 3 months later. And
3 months after diagnosis.
Correct. 3 months.
And, oh, my goodness.
A lot of travels back and forth to Shands at the Brain Institute. So it's very trying. And so you have to take things in stride and understand that God has a plan And to fight against that is foolish at best.
Mm-hmm.
Accept it, but move on and learn from those experiences and share that with mm-hmm. others to understand. You know, you look around and you see people fighting mental illness, drug addiction, other things in their families, broken families, and you say, wow, I may have had a bad experience. I could help those folks. You know, they're really in a bad spot, and helping them learn and understand and either be saved or understand the Lord
mm-hmm.
is a mission why we're here. I mean, at a young age, you know, I was raised in the Methodist Church and baptized in the Methodist Church. I was an acolyte. You know, we spent 2 or 3 days a week at church as a family. You don't see that today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got some folks that do that. But, you know, I often reflect on society and where we're headed, and I often say to folks, I'm not surprised if you take God out of the family, out of the country, and try to stagnate it and sanitize that from the whole realm of public, don't have to look far to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. There is an agenda, and there's a lot of talk being spread about right now about even some of the events that are going on at the federal level, at the White House, about motives and a lot of these things, a lot of the decisions that have been put in place and made that affect what we're doing in the Middle East. They're saying this is all part of a plan. They're right. It's like they're doing this
right.
on purpose. And it really is hard. I mean, when you hear talk like that, and I know even on a local basis, in a state basis,
right.
you hear, I'm sure, lots of voices that would say, why are you doing what you're doing?
That's right.
And if a leader has no mooring in the Bible, and if they really do not share the values of the Word of God or whatever,
right.
it really, you have to define where they're getting their definitions of what's right.
Well, that's correct. And when COVID broke out, that's exactly what I did. I prayed. I asked God, what am I supposed to do? We had people demanding to wear a mask. We had people demanding not to wear a mask. We had all these things going on. And you know, I prayed on it. I listened to the experts and the doctors and epidemiologists that I was listening to every day. I listened to the average person. And, you know, God just told me, he says, you'll do what's right. You know what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what's right. You just, it's going to be unpopular for some. It may be popular for others, but you got to do what's right. And I took that in stride and said, you know, at that point I was responsible and my fellow commissioners for 470,000 residents. And like I told many people, I said, I don't have the pleasure of my own personal opinions in public health of 470,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to listen to experts and people that I can trust and believe that are much smarter than I, but yet use common sense and trust in the Lord of what should be done. And, you know, one experience that we had during COVID was I was sitting in my office on the third floor at the county, and one of my staff members called and said, oh, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? Well, we have a mob that's coming down the street and they're marching in on the building. They got loud horns and stuff about masks and all this. And I said, yeah, okay. I said, let me get my jacket. I'll be right down. They're like, you can't go down there. I said, oh yeah, I'm going down there. And we have sheriff deputies there, and I go to the front door, and they go, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going out to talk to these people. Well, you know, it may not be safe. I said, it'll be fine. They're people. They're normal people. They're constituents. They deserve to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
I walked out, met them. Of course, they were spraying and screaming and, you know, on their loud horns. Talked to them just like you and I would have a conversation. It was all just fine.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be respected and heard. And we have so much of that that doesn't happen. Now, we may not agree, but at least let's listen, let's have good dialogue and understand each other's position. And if we do that more, and that's one thing the Lord has taught us, you know, respect your fellow man and listen to your fellow man, and you'll always do what's right. Some people may not agree, but you treat your fellow man as you would want to be treated.
Well, that golden rule, it's a very important rule. It
That's
was lived by many people.
That's right.
For hundreds of years. And it is something that we should all be considering what we are doing today and whether or not we're kind of fitting into that. I know that
right.
evidences are continuing to come in about both sides of these issues.
Right.
And I can only predict to myself from where I'm sitting and what I'm hearing, and that's nowhere near as in the middle of the flow as what, where you are and
right.
what you hear on a daily basis. But there seems to be even more and more confusion about this whole thing.
Absolutely.
And it is, we thought it would be gone by 2021.
We actually all said, you know, I said that, you know, we changed chairman. We elect the chairman from the board. The board elects our own chairman. And we elected a new chairman, which is Commissioner Constantine. And I said to Lee, I said, buddy, good luck. 2020 was a heck of mm-hmm. a place to be. I think we're in a good place, and I think we're heading in the right direction, and everything's calming down. Here we are.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a respite, but not much.
No, we didn't. And it really is just respecting each other. You know, I have a conversation. People say, well, why do you wear a mask when you go in there? I said, well, I know there are people that are very fearful.
Mm-hmm.
They're fearful of contracting something. Maybe they have an immune system problem. Maybe they have some other disease. I owe it to them, at least the respect, if I'm going to be in close proximity to them, to show them respect of wearing a mask or keeping my distance. And if we would do more of that and just understand and not politicize this as it's been done from the top down. When I was doing my press conferences on the COVID in 2020, I would always start out by saying, look, you know, this is not a right-leaning, left-leaning, middle-of-the-road, Democrat, Republican, NPA. This is a health issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't tell you where we're going to be, but I got a lot of smart people that I listen to that are telling me, this is a good idea, you should do this, we don't know. And I used to always say, there's some things we know, but there's a whole lot we don't know. So let's deal with what we do know and try to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, you know, we hear some expert doctor in D.C. or some epidemiologist in California says the opposite, and people are saying the different things, and you got misinformation out there. And before you know it, the public is confused. This goes all back, in my opinion, to where we are with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
We've had pandemics in this country before, and never this kind of disdain and dissent between neighbors. I mean, it's just... it's not godly at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it breaks my heart to see even not even a COVID issue when you have a neighbor that fights with a neighbor.
Unfortunately, that fight was going on strong and hot and heavy before COVID ever came around.
Absolutely it was. And we continue this spiral out of control of not understanding the book, not understanding God, and not having God in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, I come from a generation where you went in, you were always attending church, you listened to the gospel. And that's one of the things I'm honestly struggling with right now is as far as finding a church. I'm a traditionalist. I've been to a lot of different churches. My first wife was Catholic, but we attended Catholic sometimes, we attended Methodist sometimes, and sometimes went to the Baptist church. And so I'm not the rock and roll new life type church mm-hmm. type of guy. I'm not a fire and brimstone guy, but I'm a traditionalist. I like the gospel. I love a good sermon.
Well, let's pick up on that. Let's talk more about that because that's interesting. Jay Zimbauer is my guest today here on Afternoons with Mike. We're going to be back right after this break. Don't go away. This is The Shepherd. I am with Jay Zimbauer as my guest today. Jay is the commissioner for the Seminole County Board and kind of an at-large seat. He is from District 2, but again, as an at-large commissioner, he is responsible for and voted upon by all the residents of Seminole County. So this is a very important seat. And boy, I tell you what, Jay, I can't think of a more important time to know that the people who are representing us have a heart for God.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And, you know, we are adamant about having prayer at every one of our meetings. We have a different pastor typically every month that comes in, and different denomination that leads us in prayer before our meetings. Of course, we also salute and have the Pledge of Allegiance. And, you know, it's amazing to me as you look around the country, there's a lot of governmental entities that do not.
Right.
And have actually passed ordinances and policies that they don't have prayer.
Yeah.
And some don't even salute the flag.
Sadly, there are presidents that have not done that.
Well, that's exactly right. We have a lot of role models out there that a lot of the young people look up to, you know, with social media. You know, I would tell you the social media is another thing that has killed, you know, our families. I mean, and caused so much hate because you can hide behind a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And they find it easy to lash out and make statements that just aren't true. And it becomes problematic. It's really a shame.
Mm-hmm.
But there are good people in government. You know, there's bad people in government. There's good people in government. But I'll tell you, in my heart of hearts, after being there 3 years, I clearly now understand why good people may not get in, or if they do, they may not stay real long. Because it really is a trying circumstance on so many levels, knowing that you've got to make decisions based on law, and decisions you make are going to be unpopular with some, yet popular with others. And there's some decisions you make that are probably unpopular with most people. But it's, you know, the laws that we're given either federally or by the state that we have to adhere to. I may not agree with those laws, but we have to uphold those because we took an oath to uphold those laws. But the good news is, you know, in Seminole County, you know, our faith-based community is what makes Seminole County one of the best counties in the state. You know, we are the third most populated county in the state, and we're the fourth smallest in the state. So our density is pretty heavy.
Smallest from the standpoint of geographic
landmass. That's right. Correct. And ironically, you know, we'll go back to the Trayvon Martin issue. You know, we saw communities like Los Angeles break out in riots and you know, burning buildings. And we saw a lot of this past year that we're going on with civil unrest, you know, in our communities. And we've been able to work with our faith-based leaders, include them as part of the need for this community and respecting your fellow man, regardless of color, race, belief. And I think we've done a well job here in Seminole County for decades in respecting our fellow man. It reflects that we are typically number one or number two most healthiest county in the state of Florida out of 67 counties. We also tend to have our school system in the top 3 to 4 every year. Our economic situation during COVID was less of an impact than some of the other counties. We did not go through a mandatory shutdown. In Seminole County, we did not mandate closing businesses. The only time businesses were closed when the state mandated it. When the state lifted the mandate, we went back to telling our business owners, hey, y'all need to do what's right for your employees. We'll respect you do right by the public. And if the public's not feeling safe, they just won't deal with you. Mm-hmm. So we're going to leave that up to you.
Now, you must have gotten some pushback from your neighbors at Orange. What was that like?
You know, it was very interesting. You know, I had to be on teleconferences once a week with Osceola, Lake, and Orange because we knew it was important because Orlando being the mecca of the employment with everything that goes on in Orange County, and we had the city of Orlando, we all felt it was necessary. Hey, we need to be talking on a weekly basis about this COVID situation and how we jointly can try to work together with the understanding that we are separate from each other and we may not have necessarily the same beliefs that you have. And I reflect on a call, and I won't mention any names, on one of those calls well into the COVID, and we were sharing what's going on with businesses, what's going on with the health, what's going on with the schools, what's going on with, you know, anything related to the pandemic. And I remember one of the elected mayors at the time says, you know, he's sharing with the rest of us, our our economic income based on our tax base has taken a huge hit. I mean, huge hit. And so we let him finish, and the elected official from Lake County had a few words to say, and I said, well, you know, I hate to hear that. I think we've all had some impact from that. I said, but do you realize your tax revenue and income is directly based on somebody's ability to conduct business? And if you've got hit squads running around to people's businesses,
yeah,
fining them and telling them, hey, if you don't wear a mask or you don't do this, or if you don't make sure those people don't get close to each other, we're going to fine you. And then if the fine doesn't work, we're going to close your business. I said, so I don't know what to tell you, but those two sort of go hand in hand. When, when you're heavy handed with these people, what do you expect? If they can't run their business, they're going to say, look, I don't want any parts of it. They're just going to close their business. And unfortunately, some of them closed their businesses and will probably never reopen.
That's right.
And, you know, you have to put faith to a certain extent in your fellow man and let them make their own decisions with the understanding there's going to be some that just don't make the right decision.
Yeah.
A lot of them will do and do what's right. And often when I think somebody's going to do something wrong, I'm often surprised. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the political side. We get caught up in all the angst and all the hatred that, that is just visceral through the communities and through the country. And then in certain situations, we stop and we think about that. And we go, you know, that's just not right. And you'll find those people that have faith in the Lord, have had a upbringing and have known the Lord, those are the kind of people that you usually see in that situation that say, you know, wait a minute, this is just all out of control. You know, let's try to turn this a little bit and respect your opinions, but let's not hate each other. And it's amazing. I have a sign in my office that says a man ought to do what he thinks is right. And that was a saying John Wayne actually had: a man ought to do what he thinks is right. And often decisions are made at political levels that are based on somebody's reelection, somebody's loudest voice in the room. And I had the opportunity to sit with Speaker Boehner not long ago. And I said to him, I said, John, do you miss D.C.? And he said, not a bit. I said, not even a bit. I mean, you really got a lot accomplished as Speaker of the House. A lot of people said you weren't going to be able to be successful. You're actually successful. And he said, you know, here's what I'll tell you, Jay. The problem with politics today and a problem with the country, he says, when I was there, you know, we had a few people that, you know, were the far right, the far left. But he says, I could work with the majority of those people and we'd get things done. He says, but today you've got a small group of hard right and a small group of hard left. They're the loudest voices in the community. And the politicians listen to those people instead of the 80% that are in the middle who really want a safe place to run their business, a safe place for their children to go to school. They want a good education. They want a good quality of life. They just want to be safe and be able to do what they want to do without fear of being overtaxed, overgoverned, and so forth. And he says, those are the people that, that are taking the hit. And he says, you know, I would never want to be in it again. And I said, no, I'm seeing it at a local level. I said, but the times of people having political disagreements and being able to sit down and break bread afterwards, it still exists, but not like it did in the old days.
I wonder if it can return. I mean, I wonder if it's too late for all of that. I wonder, and one of the things that I think determines the answer to that question is, are we as a country going to return to actually enforcing things according to the rule of law?
Amen. Amen. And that's it. And today, there's so much, and I hate to use this scenario, but I'll call it entitlement. Everybody's a winner. You don't learn life lessons that way. The Bible teaches us that, that, you know, you have to participate, but you also have to try to do your best. It doesn't mean that you're going to be at the top of the list. Doesn't mean you're going to be at the bottom of the list, but it's going to mean that you are doing the best for yourself as well as your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know from the Bible, if we go back and look at some of the lessons the Bible will teach us, is oftentimes things have to get really broken to get fixed. And, you know, I talked to a pastor that I respect very much who is no longer with us about this exact issue. And the belief we came away with was we're on the cusp of things being really broken.
Mm-hmm.
And that once it gets really broken, then people are going to start reaching out to the Lord again and trying to find their way. They've become lost, or they've never known the Lord. And, you know, I always tell people when they tell me, you know, some of the things I've been through with the loss of my father at 50, loss of my wife when she was 54 after 37 years. I've had some other losses of very close family and friends. And they're like, man, you know, a lot of people in your circumstance, they just go off in the corner and, you know, just will away to nothing.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not built that way. I was not. The Lord gives us challenges. And the way we handle those challenges is how the Lord teaches us to help other people and spread the gospel. And that's how I do it. I'm not a pastor, but I certainly can pass life lessons and give my experiences to people and help them find their way to the Lord
mm-hmm.
by treating their fellow man in the right way.
Well, I think everyone listening, whether they're a pastor or not, need to realize that this is our call as believers. We're called to represent the Lord to others.
That's right.
And to go and make disciples. I mean, that word that Jesus gave wasn't just
That's right.
to the clergy.
That's
right. It was to us all.
Amen.
We're That's to right. go and make disciples, which that implies helping them along their way to a higher position or more knowledge or a better understanding
That's right.
of the word. And that you can break that down in so many different ways. But discipleship is our call. It's our joint call. And along with that is knowing what the word of God is and abiding by it. And, oh, we're our country in a better condition with that one.
Right. Well, and there's this whole gotcha mentality, you know, and I look at that and I think, why would a person revel in embarrassing or hurting someone because of some circumstance they find themselves and they made a bad decision? What we should be doing is going over and confiding and confronting with that person and try to help them understand what decision they made wrong and help them along their way
mm-hmm.
instead of embarrassing them and continue to push them down. And that's one of the good things, you know, in Seminole County, nobody's talking about mental health. It's like taboo. So, you know, our Sheriff Lima here in Seminole County, and we've agreed to help fund that to $6 million. We're going to deal with the mental health aspect. People don't want to deal with
yeah.
it. And part of that is including our faith-based leaders who are very, very key in the drug addiction, the mental health illness issue. And that's one thing, again, I think we pride ourselves in Seminole County. You know, I got a call from a couple of the pastors in Goldsboro and out at Midway, which is our less fortunate parts of our community, thanking us for reaching out to them and making sure their people were getting vaccines or any other help they needed during the pandemic, because a lot of them didn't have transportation. They couldn't get out, didn't have anybody there. We were delivering meals. You know, in our emergency operations director, which is Alan Harris, we talked many times and said, look, nobody else out there is going to do it. So we need to work with our faith-based leaders. If we can help them with food, help them with delivery, help them with funding, they are our partners. They are part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
They are the voice of their congregation, who then are the disciples for the rest of the community. If you engage them and ask for their assistance and work side by side with them, it'll be much easier on this community. You will not be hearing that we're not getting attention over here in this part of the community. We're not getting over here. You reach out to your faith-based leaders. If you are a believer, it's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And having an understanding and just not forgetting about people and understanding there are people out there that are struggling in so many fronts. And so many of us spread the gospel every day in a different way. It's our actions. It's sharing the Lord. It's giving people direction and helping them find their way. And that's one of the things that this opioid crisis, what the drug addiction and the mental health issues are. Our goal is, let's not just bring these people in and treat them at the hospital, get them dried out, and put them back on the road, because they're going to be right back in a week or 2 weeks. Let's help nurture them. Let's work with our faith-based leaders as well as our business leaders to get them integrated back into society so they can find their way. Part of that is sharing the gospel.
I think that's one of the things that would differentiate Seminole County's approach from a governmental standpoint to so many other counties, is even a willingness to involve the faith-based community.
Absolutely. We actually have, through the sheriff's office, a monthly meeting, sometimes in Zoom these days, of all the faith-based leaders. We listen. We understand. They tell us what's going on in their community that we need to know to help them. And then we help them with helping us help those people in the community.
That is an amazing thing.
It is.
It's so rare. It really is rare.
That's right. It absolutely is.
Well, I know a lot of the pastors in Seminole County, like Andy Searles over at Church Together, who would be very involved. And then after that event, that tragic event of 2020 with George Floyd, the faith-based community and the local leaders in Seminole County got together for a unity walk, a prayer walk.
Absolutely. That's right. We absolutely did. And that was all initiated jointly between the sheriff's office, elected officials, and the faith-based leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, I tell people often, all the time, we understand that there are different demographics in our community, but at the end of the day, we're all God's children, regardless of race, regardless of what your religious belief may be or not be. It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. And all of the churches, like Metro Life Church, that's where I attend. I am so grateful that the ear to the government, and vice versa, the government to the ear, is open. And there's communication that's happening.
That's
And they're talking. And, oh, Lord, let that kind of communication, that kind of openness, that kind of zeal, let it be more apparent than what it is. My guest today, Jay Zimbauer. I'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. What a fun discussion I'm having today with Jay Zimbauer. Now, that name, if you think, I've heard that name before, or I've seen that name, Zimbauer, and you have a family business that's quite vocal, or I should say quite visible.
Right.
If you're driving down 436, they've seen the name.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about your family business.
So our family business was started 1974, October 14th, 1974. And it was started by my father and mother, and I, as the oldest sibling, would work in the family business after school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, I lost my father, and I took over the business. Now my son runs the business, and I do, you know, the county commission routine, but I also am a forensic automotive investigator who investigates wrecks to determine why somebody was hurt, injured, or killed. Takata airbag defect. I was part of that, identifying that defect for years. I'd been screaming at NHTSA they need to do something. They finally got around to doing it. But I also did a lot of radio, about 20-some years in radio, believe it or not. I did work at WTLN.
Not a sister station in ownership, but a friend here in the community.
Amen. Yeah, man. I think I did WTLN for about 10, 11 years.
What was the time frame for that?
That was, well, there was a couple different time frames during that 10 years. One was 4 to 5 p.m. in the afternoons. Another one was mornings 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Now, what years would this have covered?
Oh, that would have been
late 70s, 80s?
No. That would have been late 80s up through the early 90s, even up into, actually did some and probably up through 2008, 2009.
Wow. So what were your duties there?
So we did two things. We had a faith-based discussion. George Crosley was doing a program at the same time, at one of the same times I did, and also doing a call-in automotive question and answer.
Oh, my goodness.
So you could call in and say, hey, I my car does click, clang, bang, and when I turn the corner, what do you think that might be? So we did a lot of that. And then we did on the local Fox sports radio. Also did a car call-in type segment. We also did I've changed the call signs, but it was the AM station and FM station. I can't remember what it was though. WKIS or W. Anyway, it was one of the big stations that was part of the Fox radio network. And so we did Car Talk over there, was the name of the show.
Car Talk.
And people would call and tell us what's wrong with their cars. We would handle that. Then I did a lot of voiceover. I did a lot of advertising voiceover for clients at the stations, which was, as you know, a little gig that you make a little side money.
It's a lot of fun, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And amazing what you can do to shrink things down. People don't realize how you can speed things up, expand them out, cut things in, cut things out.
People are hearing that more and more now with these commercials where they have the legal disclaimer
that's right.
That's sped up. I mean, back in the old day, years ago, I was hired when I could actually speak a lot quicker than
I was hired
just because I could speak quickly.
right, exactly.
But now you don't need to do that. You can just record it at normal pace cut it in half the time. And, of course, you can't understand any of the words, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Trying to shrink things down to the least amount of spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed doing that. I did a lot of investigative work for Todd Ulrich at Channel 9, mainly involving automotive unscrupulous, people being ripped off by repair shops or a sales situation where they were sold a lemon and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I also spent 5 years as a Florida lemon law arbitrator. So if you had a lemon law car, I would review all the information and all your statements and so forth to determine whether the car was a lemon or not.
Hmm.
So I've done a lot of different things. I really have. And it's just, I'm so blessed. I recently married my second marriage after lost my wife for 4 years. And, God works in mysterious ways if you're a believer. My first wife's name was Lisa. My new wife's name is Lisa. And
that's got to be weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
And what's even weirder, and my children will tell you the same thing, and many of our close friends, they will say, it's almost like your late wife sent her. She is the same.
Hmm.
She's same, outgoing, bubbly, a believer, just a good person, wants to help everybody. And I tell people all the time, I said, I'm just a blessed man.
Mm.
I truly am. I've been through a lot of things in my life, but I'm a blessed man. And I owe it to share that with others,
mm-hmm.
to show them there is a path. Bad things can happen. The Lord gives us tests along the way. We deal with those. And it's like a pastor that told me many years ago, just a little funny story. It was about the guy that said, I'm a believer. I'm in the middle of a flood. I'm on the roof. Here comes a helicopter. And the guy says, nope, God's going to take care of it. Okay. Nobody's coming back for you. Next thing, the guy comes by in a boat. He says, hey, mister, the water's rising. Get in the boat. I'll get you to safety. Nope. The Lord's going to take care of me. Well, then a guy comes by in a canoe and he says, hey man, you don't have very much time. There's nobody going to be here to help you. Nope. The Lord's going to take care of me. Well, he drowns. Well, he gets in front of the Lord. Lord, what happened? He says, well, I gave you a brain, but you didn't use it. Going to the point of, if you're a believer and a true believer, you have to understand, yes, it is all in God's hands, but we have to make decisions based on our belief in God.
Hmm.
And that's where people fail.
Yeah, we have to understand that God he uses so many different ways to get our attention. And boy, are we seeing that one today.
Oh, darn, we are.
Why, this is a really rough time for so many. But again, I think it's so important that we keep our eyes on the Lord. And I know that there are many people who are upset about a lot of different things. Well, but if we can all do this one thing, and that is to remember, especially for those that profess faith in Jesus, that He is Lord and He's going to help us. And a lot of the things that we might be fighting against and complaining about might actually be being allowed to happen because of what God is doing in judgment on this earth. And I'm not surprised about that at all, if that's the case.
I agree completely. I mean, he is, you know, he obviously cannot be happy with the state of the world. And it's going to be his will where we end up. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we learn lessons through the Bible. Sometimes things got to get really bad before people really become believers and turn things mm-hmm. around.
You know, I had a guest recently that said, I have a testimony, but I learned that the first part of testimony is the test.
Right.
And so that's really what we're in, folks. This is indeed a test, that's and right. It is not like a easy test or a necessarily short test. Americans love comfort.
Right.
We've demonstrated that.
And we have a short memory.
Right. And so now we're going to have this thing that is upon us, and we're going to see what happens with it.
Amen. And my recommendation, people, and it's just a small thing, is when you're out in public and you're out on the streets or wherever you might be, just say hello to people. And if you see somebody in need, just lend a helping hand. If you see a woman that's struggling or an elderly person, open the door for them. You know, ask them if you can carry the bag for them. We get so caught up in the hustle bustle of go, 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 go. You know, you will find it will warm your heart and it'll warm the hearts of others. And if more of us would just take a simple once or twice a day moment to acknowledge our fellow man and lend a helping hand. Maybe it's they drop something on the street, pick it up and give it to them and tell them to enjoy their day. Maybe you can see them, they're struggling with something. Maybe you can help them out or call somebody for them. We've lost so much of that love for our fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
It's so visceral. We don't need that. And I think if more of us would do that, it would slowly start to catch on a little bit at a time,
mm-hmm.
and we'd find ourselves in a much better place.
You know, try a little kindness, the old song. That's what you're talking about there.
That's right.
Good medicine for us all. You know, one of the things that I think a lot of people wonder, and we're seeing the importance of local government, local officials.
Right.
It's not always all about what the networks would lead us to believe, that it's all at the White House and it's all at the Congress. But there's an important part of our government that's done with exactly what you're doing.
That's right.
So here's my question to you. In light of that,
right.
What is the best way that listeners who are listening to us, maybe from Seminole County or
right.
even in whatever county, if they're listening in Lake,
right.
To contact their Lake, what is the best way to present a concern from
sure.
a listener standpoint?
So my office as a commissioner, I have, which may be different than other commissioners, elected officials, I have an open door policy. You have my cell number, which I'll give you right now. My cell number is 407-625-3936. You can call me anytime, night or day. If you have a problem, I'll answer it. I'll make sure you get the right direction. I'll get the right staff member, the right department to deal with whatever problem you're having. You can always email us at our office. My personal assistant, Deborah, she is I call her the air traffic controller. While I'm going one way, she's directing traffic and helping people get this and help that. But we have an open door policy at my office, and I'm typically in the office most times all day Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's when I attempt to do in-person meetings mm-hmm. with folks. The other 3 days, I'm either out in the community working with staff or being briefed on something or doing my private job. But I have a wide open policy at my office. Call me anytime.
That's unbelievable.
Email me, text me.
I just hope you don't start getting a lot of calls from people who are worried about your extended car warranty, man.
That's right. The funny part about that, Mike, when I first got in office and, you know, the staff at the county said, well, you need a separate cell phone. I said, for what? Well, you need to have one for county business, one for personal. I said, I don't want to keep track of two phones. Well, you don't want to give your regular cell phone number. I said, why not? I was elected by the people. I answer to the people. They should be able to talk to me. They can have my cell number. The amazing part about it is, with the exception of maybe two or three just crazy calls, just crazy people, most people don't call you unless they have a legitimate concern.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know, and they're pleased that they don't have to go through a bunch of operators and make appointments and all that to try to get something done.
That sounds like a very rare politician.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely.
Hey, here's my cell number. Call me anytime, as you just said.
That's right.
Day or night.
That's right.
Oh, wow. That's pretty great.
Yep.
Jay, it's really been a real delight for me to get to talk with you today. And I do wish you the best.
Thank you.
When you think about the things you've gone through, the pain that you've personally gone through with your dad and with losing your wife, I'm just so honored to know that you're responding to all of that in the way that I pray we all would. And that would be to have faith in the Lord at the end of the day, that he's guiding you and he's going to see you through.
The way God taught us.
It is the way he taught us.
That's right.
And it is the way he wants us to put that into practice.
Amen.
And sometimes those are two different things.
That's right. You are so right on that, Mike. Oh, boy, is it ever. That's
right. But the goal is to lessen that gap and live that way.
That's
Jay
right.
Zimbauer, my guest today from the commissioner's seat, District 2 at large in Seminole County. And we thank him for being here. And friends, thank you for joining us as well. And we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, Mike. Be safe.
All right. Right here on The Shepherd.